Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of the Psalms, book of Psalms, chapter 119. And don't get worried, I'm not going to read every verse. There's 176 verses. Psalms 119 and verse 129, we'll start there. And I'll talk to you about when God's Word enters. God's Word is living and powerful. When God's Word is truly spoken, then there's things happen to people. And God spoke this world into existence. When God speaks, things have to be in obedience to Him. Praise the Lord. Psalms 119, verse 129. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Father, I pray your blessings on the ministry of the word of God today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. When God enters, There may have been famous people that entered stages. People couldn't wait to see whoever it was that was so famous. But when Jesus entered this world, the living Word entered humanity. No greater entry than the entrance of Jesus. By Him, we enter His sheepfold. By Him, we enter salvation. By Him we enter eternal strength to live for God. And by Him we have entered the eternal. Everything in this life is temporary, but God's not temporary. He's eternal. And He's given us the gift of eternal life. Amen. Jesus came to spoke to some religious crowd. They came and said, you go see if you can talk to Jesus and to see if you can't contradict some of His words somewhere or another. Since you can't catch Him in these words. Those people came back to the people they were ordered by and says, never a man spake like this man. When God's Word enters, there's a powerful thing that happens. Praise the Lord. And God's Word testifies to humanity that there is only one God, that mankind isn't alone, that he needs the Creator present in his life. When God's Word enters, let's look at this for just a moment. First of all, the entrance of God's Word gives light. It says that in verse 30. The entrance of your words give light. Okay? And wherever this gospel has been preached, it describes right and wrong. And wherever God's Word is, it shows the punishment of evil behavior, but it also shows the reward of accepting its truth and eternal benefit. God's Word gives truth about eternity. It gives truth about heaven and hell. Most people, even church people, are wonderful. If you want to preach about heaven, just kind of leave hell out of it. Well, no, we got to give both sides of it. Jesus gave both sides of it, so we got to have to. But the entrance of God's Word makes you know that certainly there's an eternity that you want to enter. There's eternal life you want to enter. There's eternal separation from God. You don't want to go there. And God's Word clearly shows the path that leads to eternal life and the path that leads to eternal separation from God. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter unto the perfect day. My friend, I don't know what you're looking for. Well, I think I do. Amen. I know what I'm looking for. I want to walk that road, the path of the just that promises even a brighter day. I'm not talking about just a 24-hour cycle. The brighter day is a day of eternity with God. And as you live for God and walk with God, that light shines brighter and brighter every day, knowing that we're headed for eternal life, eternal love, eternal hope, and to see that Jesus had died and rose again from the dead, that we may fall at His feet and cry, holy. Amen. Proverbs 15:24, the way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. So the Bible, God's Word, surely testifies of both places. And God's Word clearly defines right and wrong, defines good and evil, calls sin by its name, so that there's no question about what offends our holy God. The entrance of God's Word gives light. And light is the first thing that God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So when God spoke, His Word entered, and it became light. And light is a wonderful thing. It exposes danger. We all want lights. We have lights this morning. But we use lights to illuminate the darkness. We have safety lights at our house at times, you know, where we want to know if somebody that's not supposed to be there is trying to get in. And so light is wonderful. It exposes danger. But in the spiritual sense, God wants to see us to see Him. And see His goodness in creation, see His goodness, see His perfection, see His sinless, perfect nature. And God wants us to see His guidance through everyday life. Years ago, when I was not as mature as I should have been, I was at what it was then, the Southwestern Assemblies of God College. Now it's Nelson University. And I was coming home after work, and I was going to drive from Waxahachie to DeLeon, and it's about a two-hour drive. And I found myself, at one point, a policeman was knocking on my window of my car. I was in park. I don't think it had been done that if it wasn't in park. But he looked at me and said, are you all right? I said, yes, sir, I am. I said, I just worked late, and I'm sleepy. He didn't give me a ticket. He said, son, why don't you just pull into the parking lot over here and just rest your eyes for a few minutes before you try to drive again? I said, okay, thank you, sir. And so I did. But I saw God's protection. Had God not protected me, I could have run into that train that ran across the track, and it did while I was there, sitting there waiting for it to finish. And so we'll do that. We'll talk about the one in Mineola. But anyway, God's hands of protection was upon me that day, and I'm thankful that God is present, amen, and that God's Word enters us, and God's Word directs us, and God guides us through everyday life. And let's look at the entrance of God's Word for a moment here. We find in creation, Adam and Eve talked with God, had wonderful, beautiful, unhindered communion with God before their fall. In their day, before they sinned, there was no separation from God. There was no evil, no sin, nothing to separate man from God. They were in spiritual light. And their communication was unhindered. There was no sin to keep Adam and Eve from talking with God in the cool of the day. They did. They talked with God, and I don't know what all they talked about, but I'm sure that if Adam or Eve had any question, God was surely able to answer them. And so they had unhindered fellowship with God. My friend, we're headed to a heaven where that's what we'll have in heaven. Praise God, unhindered fellowship with God. I truly believe you'll be able to sit down with Jesus and God the Father and God the Son and talk to them as I'm talking to you right now, and we'll understand what He says, and He can answer any questions and all questions because He is the answer to all questions. Praise the Lord. Got a wonderful future ahead of us. Praise the Lord. Because communication is a key element to any relationship and how we need to communicate with God. You know, in the Old Testament, Job tried to get God to talk to him. He spent a number of chapters trying to get God to talk to him, 37, I believe. And God, I can't speak to you. If I speak to you, you're not there. If I go here, you're not there. If I go there, you're not there. You're just, no, I cannot reach you, God. And he complained at one time. He says, there is nothing, no go-between. There's no mediator. Of course, he didn't know that one time, eventually that would be fulfilled and Jesus would become the one mediator between God and man. And so Job didn't understand because they couldn't talk. And Job wasn't very nice to God sometimes. He kind of blamed him for a few things. And after a while, God spoke to him, 38th chapter, said, Job, you've been saying all this stuff. I'm putting this in my own version. You've been saying all this. Now I want to talk to you. He said, you stand up on your feet like a man, and I'm going to answer you, and you're going to listen to me. Can you imagine if God came literally to you and said, I want you to listen to me, would you say, I don't have time right now? No, you wouldn't. If you had any brains at all, God's given us all his brains. He expects us to use them. And so God spoke to him, and God restored him, and God renewed him for the awful trial that he'd been through. Because you see, the entrance of God's word was powerful there. God began to talk to Job, and God showed him what he needed and showed everything about him. And God restored him, healed him, and raised him up from certain what seemed to be certain death. And God wants to communicate with you today. You say, well, Jesus is not here, and we're just not spiritual enough to hear the voice of God. Let me tell you something, friend. God wants to talk to you, wants to love you, wants to serve you, and wants you to serve him. And we talk to God through prayer. We talk to him. Amen. You can call God out. You can pray to him. You can talk to him. And God talks to us by his Holy Spirit. And God talks to us by his word that he's given us. He may speak through a certain circumstance that happens in your life. He may speak to you through dreams and visions. Probably not most of the time. Most of the dreams I had, you wouldn't give a plug nickel for. Anyway, it couldn't make any sense. But anyway, God may speak in various ways, but God loves you and God wants to communicate with you. And the entrance of God's word is powerful when you know God, what God has said to you. The entrance of God's word causes knowledge of truth to, as opposed to evil. And we know that there's two kingdoms working in this world. There's a kingdom of God and there's a kingdom of evil. And so all that's going to be done away with the new heaven and new earth, where the devil's stuffed into the lake of fire, there forever and ever, and there will be no more sin on this planet. Praise God. Even so, come Lord Jesus now. And so the entrance of God's word it defines truth. It defines evil. And in the pulpits today, you know, they think, well, we don't want to preach against sin. It might offend somebody. My friend, you need to be offended. I'm offended. Yes, I want God to offend me. If there's something I'm doing wrong, God offend me. Tell me what it is. I'll take it. Amen. And so God's word, the interest of God's word, gives direction in one's life. It shows that we are created to be under the Creator's control. It shows God desires fellowship with humanity. Why would God want to talk to me? Why would God want to talk to you? I don't know, but I know that he does. Amen. And he wishes to be personal with everybody. Amen. And in the book of 1 John, it says that we're God's desire to have fellowship with him. And it says God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. So God wants to talk to you. God wants to communicate with you, impressions in your heart to show you the way, to tell you right from wrong, so that you'll lead a straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. And so God's word reveals a path to follow, where to walk physically, spiritually, and eternally. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so God can make you know what steps you're taking. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, it says, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or when you turn to the left. When people stand before God, one excuse is not going to work that says, well, I just didn't know any better. Yeah, you did know better. That didn't work very, excuses don't work very good with God. when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, God, you know, Adam said, "It's not my fault, Lord. It's this wife that you gave me. It's Eve's fault." And Eve said, "It's not my fault. It's the serpent that came up here. It's his fault." And you know, God didn't buy any excuse, either excuse. God says, "Okay, you've sinned, but I'll provide a means of redemption for you." And he did and does. And it's revealed in Christ. So God's word reveals the path to follow. Amen. When God's at the door, you open to him. And in ancient Israel, I mean, we have doors here and deadbolts and everything to keep us safe and keep anyone from entering unless they're real strong, they can break in and enter. But in ancient Israel, they dwelt in tents. I didn't hear anybody, there wasn't anybody arguing, "Man, my tent's better than your tent." Yeah. "I got another better flap to get into my tent than you do, you know." So the only opening in the tent was the flap of skin that was the door. So when the door was opened, light came in the tent, illuminating everything that was inside. But when Jesus comes into your heart, the light of Christ comes on and God reveals to you what's in your heart. And God shows you what he doesn't want in your heart. And God shows you what he wants to take away from your heart. Amen. So God's word, the entrance of God's word gives light. And Jesus came and said, "I am the light of the world." And in Psalms 139, it says the darkness and the light are just all alike to God. Darkness and light doesn't matter to God as far as the physical is concerned. And God has 20/20 when it's midnight black outside. He sees everything. But Jesus, the light of the world, when Jesus came into the world was in darkness. Even the nation of Israel was in darkness. In all darkness before God call for light. Light was the first thing that God created. We know that. Darkness represents sin. Light represents truth, love, exposure of sin, exposure of God's care for his creation. And God sent everything in the greatest gift possible to you and I when he sent his son. He spared nothing but offered up his only begotten son for you and for me. Because he didn't want us to walk in darkness, live in darkness, and suffer eternal darkness. And so the entrance of God's word reveals who God is. Romans 1:20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." The entrance of God's word exposes darkness and sin. And so God has chosen to expose sin. And people don't like it when you tell them what's wrong with them. You say, "Well, I'm telling you, don't go make a practice of that. Tell God to say, 'God, show me what's wrong with me.'" I tell you, you have a full-time job of taking care of yourself and figuring out what's wrong with everybody else besides you. Man, so God works us. I didn't get any amen on that, but anyway, it's true. Thank you. So the entrance of God's word exposes darkness. Where Jesus went, everywhere that Jesus went, he exposed the darkness. He exposed self-righteousness. He exposed what a fake gospel was and what a real gospel was. And so he says, or God in his word tells us in John 3:20, says, "Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deed should be exposed." Have you ever done anything? I know the answer to this before I ask it, I'll ask it anyway. Have you ever done anything you hope nobody else ever found out about? Or nobody else ever saw? Man. I was in high school, anything said in high school. And people can be mean by what they say. And after Halloween one season, after Halloween was over, the next day somebody came up, some bright, that's an exaggeration, young man looked at her and saw her makeup and her hair and said, "Hey, Halloween's over. She didn't take it well. She shouldn't have taken it well. That's foolish. I got to get back to the sermon here. But everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. And that's what Jesus did. He exposed sin wherever he went. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." That's the reason that people don't like for you to say anything about God or Jesus when they're around, because if they're not saved, they're not living for God, it offends them, because it shows them that they need God. So have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. In other words, don't flirt with death. Don't flirt with darkness. Don't have anything to do with darkness. Expose it instead. In eternity, there will be no light. In our scripture here, the entrance of your word gives light. But in eternity, there will be no light if you're not in the presence of God. You'll have eternal light if you're in heaven. Eternal darkness in hell. Jude verse 13 says, talking about false teachers, he says, "They're like raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. They're like wandering stars for whom reserve the blackness of darkness forever." I don't think you can get any stronger language than that. God wants us to know there's a difference between light and darkness, spiritually and physically. And so last of all in our scripture here, it says, the entrance of your word gives light, but it gives understanding to the simple. We think of simple, and you say, why does somebody call me simple? I'm smarter than anybody. If you think that, that means you're simple. But this is a promise for the simple compared to God. We're all simple-minded because God's knowledge is unlimited. Ours is. There's nothing that God ever wondered what in the world he was going to do about it. We're that way, but he's not that way. His knowledge is unlimited. His works, his power, his love, his grace is unlimited. And we know that his grace is unlimited because he saved you and he saved me. And so, the mediation of the priesthood through animal sacrifice, there had to be a cleansing by blood in order to approach a holy God. And so that was the reason for all the Old Testament sacrifices. Something had to die and to bear the sin of the sinner before he could come to God. And of course, the fulfillment was that was the blood of Christ, that we couldn't come before God and couldn't be accepted by God unless we're covered by his blood. Our sins are erased by his work on the cross, the blood. In the New Testament, the blood of Christ allows us into the presence of God, of Jesus. And Jesus is the fulfillment of the priesthood. And the Bible bears this out very strongly in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews was written to Hebrew Christians who were tempted to go back to the law instead of reject Christ's cross and his work. Awful thing. But the writer of Hebrews brings out about Christ. He says, "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. No longer lambs and goats and bulls and things and animal sacrifices, but through the blood of Jesus once for all." Jesus wasn't offered again and again as animal sacrifices are offered continually. And it seemed like they were killing stuff all the time in the Old Testament because people were always sinning and needed something to atone for their sin. And Jesus died once because he died once for our sins. He's not going to go back to the cross for somebody else or something else. What he did one time, and it was worth it, praise God. And it's worth it, and the blood of Jesus still flows today to make the vilest sinner clean. No matter what you've done, where you've been, or what sins you've committed, I want to tell you the blood of Jesus is enough to pay for every sin and to make you clean and acceptable before God. Hebrews 10:14, "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." And the offering was he offered up himself. So the entrance of God's word gives light. And it gives understanding to the simple. Regardless if you're a genius or if you're kind of like me, you can understand that God loves and God cares. And God did everything he could. And the entrance of God's word means we can be saved and on our way to heaven today. Praise the Lord.